I want you to repeat this with me. Lord Jesus, I purpose in my heart that I will receive from your word this evening. I open my heart right now. Holy Spirit, teach me from the word. In Jesus' name. Amen. The Holy Ghost was dealing with me after listening to Gary's message last week. For those of you who are listening by MP3, my name's Mark Jenkins, and apparently this evening the Holy Ghost has put a word in my heart to build on what Gary had taught last week. His message was entitled, Mercy Harvests Dead People. And it's out of the book of Ephesians. If you'd like to turn there, it's chapter 2. We're going to be beginning in... I'm just going to recap a little bit of his message. And he started in verse 4 of chapter 2. The title of this message is... Lively stones build God's dwelling place. Lively stones build God's dwelling place. And in verse 4, but God who is rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace you are saved. And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And when he talked about mercy, it seemed to kind of get something started on the inside of me. The mercy of God, the mercy of God, how merciful he is. And if you'll remember in that message, he brought a few people from the audience up. And he was going through the process from when we were sinners, unregenerated people, and how it didn't matter, if you remember, it didn't matter if they were of the Jewish descent or if they were Gentiles. Had made no difference at all where we came from in the past. And he looked at verse 12. That at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who sometimes were far off were made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who hath made both one and broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace. So in the example that Gary was given last week, we had the two people. We had Jesus. And in order for those people, no matter where they came from, to make their way to the Father, each one of them had to come through Jesus. And in doing so, that born-again experience created one brand new person, a brand new man inside. And this is what the Holy Ghost has been dealing with inside of me. He's showing me this transition. And I think that we need to have a better understanding, a better picture inside of us of who we've been made. What's really happened? Do we see ourselves in this as we've been transformed, as we have stepped, and I'm stepping down the platform because in the example, the people were first on the floor when they were dead in sins and trespasses. And as they passed through Jesus, he had them proceed up the stairs And then we had Pastor Dave over here on this side of the platform. He represented God the Father. As they passed through Jesus and they came to the Father, what I want to talk about tonight is what they became in that transition. Because if we can understand this, if we can see this transition and we can understand who we've become and what God intends for us to be, I believe that He is giving us the keys right here for what we need to receive this revival. And I say that with fear and trembling because of all people that should be saying this, I don't think it should be me. But He's showing me this, and I want to give this to you. And I know that, you know, I look around the congregation and we have just very few people. And I know last week Pastor Day said it's supernatural the way that the size of the congregation and the way that Gary has been teaching. I mean, the revelation knowledge that's flown through Gary and the fact that the congregation size is so small. And you think, what is going on? And it is supernatural. There is such a struggle that the enemy is putting up trying to keep what's being said here from going forth. But you know what? I don't care if there's a handful. We're going to see revival. Can I hear an amen? We are going to see revival in this place. God did not waste His time when He sent Pastor Dave here. He did not send him here with a mandate to receive revival for him to go through all these years to end up with nothing. Did you hear what I said? If you have enough guts, if you have enough persistence, if you will not be beaten down by the enemy and you'll stay here and press in and do this message, what you're going to see unfolding before your eyes is going to be revival. It's going to be God manifesting Himself among His people. That's what we're contending for, and that's what we're going to see. Amen? Are you excited about that? Is that something that's a living hope on the inside of you? It has to be. If you're going to stay in those seats, it has to be. And I'm not kidding you. Because He'll try to drive you away. He'll try to put you in a grave. He will try everything He can to keep the presence of God from manifesting anywhere. I think about Pastor Dave. And of all people, here's a man that has the tenacity like I've never seen before. A great orator. I love him. He's not a great orator. Tenacious. He's the most tenacious person I've ever seen. What does God see in us that He would pick us to be in this house? What does He see in us? If you think you're here by accident, I don't care who you are. I don't care if you got saved last week. If you are here, you are here for a reason. Amen? I just think that's a wonderful thought. And if you are listening to this, I don't care where you are in the face of the earth, you have as much right to receive this revival right where you are as we do here. If you're willing to contend for it along with us, you can share in this revival. I know people. I know I have friends in St. Louis contending for this. They're as much a part of this body as we are. And when revival begins to manifest, as long as they stay connected And as long as they contend and stay in there, pressing in, they're going to see the same manifestations wherever they are. I truly believe that. And I believe Pastor Dave would say the same thing. So what I want to show you tonight, you know, the Holy Ghost has an interesting way of dealing with us. He gives us just about this much of the picture sometimes, and he says, I want you to step out. I want you to go ahead and say that you're ready to do this. And this is how much you have of what I want to share with the people this evening. And that's what I did. I told Tim, I'm going to step out in faith because I know what's in my heart. I know what he is building inside of me. I'm not going to tell you that it's a full picture yet. But by faith, I'm going to have it whenever I step out there. Amen? So what he was showing me, from what everything that Gary had preached about mercy, harvesting dead people, all of that was focused on who we were and where we came from. And what I want to focus on this evening is who we are now. And where he showed me this was out of 1 Peter. I'm really falling in love with Peter. I've always been one of these people. And if you want to turn over 1 Peter, we'll start looking in that chapter 1. I've always been one of these people that's been very much intrigued with Paul. Very analytical person. You know, the man knew the law by heart, memorized the law as a child. He could sit and quote the scriptures. And he was somebody that I really fell in love with, his manner of delivering the word. But here lately, it seems like Peter's been standing out to me. And you think about Peter. You know, of all the, you know, word that just came to me, that if you look at the disciples, sometimes he just seemed like a knucklehead. You know, it's like if there was anybody that was willing to step forward and challenge things, it was Peter. You know, he would just step right up there. He was unashamed. You know, Jesus, is that you? I'll step out on the water. Is it you? Yes. Steps right out there. He wasn't a boat sitter. He wasn't going to sit in the boat and wait and see. He was going to step right up there. And I appreciate that about him. He was a fisherman. Yeah, I spent some time in Florida working around yachts, working around the docks. I will tell you something. Fishermen are some hard people. You want to find out how foul somebody's mouth can be? You hang around some fishermen. I'm going to tell you what. Those boys, they can cuss. And I have to imagine that when Peter first started his journey with the Lord, he was a very unrefined person. Very, had to be. Had to be unrefined. Had to be rough around the edges. But he spent some time with the Lord. He walked with him. And he was changed. And the person in the first 12 chapters of Acts, that's not the same man. There was a transformation that took place in this man. The revelation, knowledge that he had. When he walked through the streets and the shadow of him would fall on someone and they would be healed. I want to be like that. Not because I want to be anybody, but because I want God to be on me that strong. That those around me can be affected by His presence. And that's what I'm talking about tonight. What I'm talking about, a lively stone to building God's dwelling place. I want to be that dwelling place. And I want Him manifesting through me so strongly that when I walk and I go through the hospitals, like I was today sitting in a hospital, and I'm seeing this poor man walk in the front doors, and he had this growth, not a growth, but a large sore on his leg. I want to be the person that God's presence is on me so strong that that man is healed. Amen. Do you hear what I'm saying? And I know that's possible because Peter had this happening in his life. So it's possible. And if it's possible for any one person, bless God, it's possible for me and you and this house and everybody listening and the sound of my voice. You can have this if you're willing to lay enough of your life down and contend for it. It can be yours. Amen? Do you want that? There's a price to be paid for it. And Jason on the front row, the man knows what the price is. I'm finding out what the price is. It's being willing to stand up in the face of watching the one that you love go through all kinds of pain and stand up and say, Lord, my wife is healed. She is healed. And you keep saying that, and you keep saying that, and you keep saying it, and saying it, and saying it. And you will not stop. I'm telling you, brothers and sisters, be ready to fight. But the fight is a fight that you win. That's the important part. If I'm just going to tell you that it's a fight, and I don't tell you the end result is you win. I mean, here's a brother, 5 hours to live. 5 hours to live. Okay, now maybe it's 8 hours. Now maybe it's a couple of days. And then they finally release him from the hospital. We need to see this, and we're going to see this time and time again. This is what we're walking into. And I am confident. I am confident that this is not years and years away. I'm also confident of one other thing. It depends on something. It depends on us. When this outpouring happens, it will happen because we have laid enough of our lives, not just Pastor Dave, but we, me, you, have laid enough of our lives down that the Holy Ghost can pour through us God's presence. You have to have enough courage to say yes to this. You have to have the courage to be willing to lay down everything. And it's not for your gain. It's not so you can be somebody. It's for somebody else. It's so somebody else can experience God's presence. And their life can change. And they can pass from death to life. Where their stub that they've had since they were a child can grow to a leg. Where the blind eyes of a child can be opened. How much is that worth? And I'm not talking about fantasy. I'm talking about reality happening here. How much are you willing to pay to have that? There comes a place where Pastor Dave can't do anymore. And it's Joe Public's turn and Mary Wallpaper's turn to sell out. If you think that it's not going to cost you as much as it did him, you're mistaken. If we're going to go there, we're going to go there together. And we're going to pay the price together. Amen? I made some really good notes here, so I'm going to read some of them. In 1 Peter, Peter is writing this letter. This is where I'm going to read some notes. He's writing this epistle to the church in Asia Minor, which is present-day Turkey. And it consists of Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, Bithynia. They're also mentioned in the book of Acts, chapter 2 and verse 9, on the day of Pentecost. Why did he write this letter? He's writing this letter to this church because these people in these countries are struggling with sin. Now, this evening, it's a Wednesday night. I'm not preaching this to you because I think that this congregation is full of a bunch of sinners. That's not the case. But he says something in here that I think we want to get a hold of. I'm sure we do. But that's the whole crux of his letter to these people. They're having problems with sin. If you look at chapter 1 in verse 6, it says, "Wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you are in heaviness through manifold temptations." They're being tempted. These people were at the day of Pentecost, filled with the Holy Spirit. You would think that they're conquerors, and now they're struggling with the temptations of this world. Has anybody struggled with temptations? Yes. Temptations to quit. And that's probably, in this group of people here tonight, more of the temptations that you would be dealing with. Not necessarily, you know, whether or not you're going to go out and get drunk or the fleshly sins, but sins like quitting. Whether you're going to continue to stay in the fight or whether you're going to stop. So that's what he's writing this letter to these people, because they have problems with sin. And in verse 13 it says, "Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ." Verse 14, "As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance." And that I highlighted the word children here. In verse 15, "But as he which has called you is holy, so be you holy in all manner of conversation." So he's telling them, be holy. Now we all know that, you know, there's only so much that you can do in the natural. The will can only take you so far. There's a part of you that has to die to those sins of the flesh. And he starts in chapter 2 and he says, "Wherefore, lay aside all malice," verse 1, "and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings." And now he's going to start telling them how that change happens. "As newborn babes," now focus on this, "as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby." I want to tell you something. If you've ever been in a place where you felt like you couldn't even read the Bible, you'd open it up, you'd sit there, look at it, nothing inside of you wanted to read. Nothing inside of you wanted to feed on the Word. Get the Scripture out right here. Confess this. "I desire the sincere milk of the Word." I do desire the sincere milk of the Word. And talk yourself back to that place of having that appetite for the Word. Confess it. Say just that Scripture right there. Until that hunger begins to develop inside of you again, and you can sit and read the Scriptures. I want to tell you, that was one of the toughest struggles that I had. All of a sudden it seemed like the hunger that I had to feed on the Word. There have been times that I could sit for hours and just read and meditate the Scriptures. But I hit a patch in my life where the Word was as dry as dust. I don't know if you've ever been there, but it is horrible. It's horrible. You just feel like you get the word out and you just blow the dust off the pages. It is that dry. Confess that scripture right there. As a newborn babe, I desire the sincere milk of the word. I desire it. And you keep saying that until it manifests and you do desire it. You hear what I'm saying? The enemy would love to just push you right out of the scriptures. And that desire and that hunger inside of you that a lot of us enjoy all the time. Oh, I'm hungry. I'll just sit and read the word. Wait till you get to that place where you would rather do anything else than read it. And you feel like, Lord, what in the world has happened to me? I don't understand this. You talk yourself back into that place. You do it. I don't suggest you run up to a prayer line and have someone lay their hands on you to get the desire back. You speak it back into your life. You do it. We're adults here, spiritually, growing up. We have a responsibility. We have to do some things. And when that desire for the scriptures that you know you have to feed on, when it's not there and you don't want to do it, you're going to have to get the word out, confess the scripture until you have that desire and you can feed on the word the way you're supposed to. Can I hear an amen? If you've never hit that place, I'm so happy for you. But when you hit it, if you do, remember these words. Because it will take you through it. As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. If so be, you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. To whom coming as unto a living stone. And we'll stop right there. This is where the beginning of building this dwelling place is. The living stone. He is that living stone. He is at the head of the corner. He is the foundation on which everything is built upon. Sunday morning, do you remember? I mentioned during the offering something about what we were building here. Pastor Dave brought forth a word, a prophecy. And in that word was mentioned the structure that's being built here. You can't see it with your natural eyes. If you come here, you just see, you know, us. That something is being built here. When this started, however many years ago it was, when he started down in Jinx, when Pastor Dave accepted the mandate from the Lord and walked off, left his traveling ministry to begin the work here. If you would have asked him then, and I remember hearing him say this, if you'd have asked him then, when do you think revival is going to happen? You know what he would have said? Probably about 6 months we'll be in revival. About 6 months. 8 months. Maybe a year. No more than 5 years. Certainly by 10 years we'll be in revival. I don't know if it's been 20 years. I'm not sure exactly the date of it. But it's been something in that neighborhood. Why? Why has it been this many years? Something is being built. And what's being built is what is going to, and God is going to inhabit as revival is poured out here. I want to tell you something. you individually represent one of those stones in this structure. Each one of you. You have a responsibility. You have a responsibility to lay down your life individually. And as you do, this structure in the Spirit is built. He is, as it says here, look again in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 4. To whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. You also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house. And holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Who have you become? When you were born into this, who did you become? Look down here at verse 9. You are, I'm going to have to look at my notes. You are a chosen. And that word chosen means favorite, generation, or offspring. You're His favorite. We are His favorite. A royal, kingly. That word royal indicates kingly. Priesthood, a peculiar people, and that means a purchased possession, that you should show forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. Who have you become? You've become His chosen, His favorite offspring. You're His favorite. And we've talked about, And this is getting back to Ephesians. We've talked about authority. Look at the authority. A royal priesthood. Royal indicating kingly. And I had to meditate on this to understand what are you saying here? And if you look at Revelation, chapter 5, verse 10 says, and hath made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. We are kings and priests. We have been born into this family of God. And when we were born into this family, we were born into this royalty. Jesus is the King of kings. He is our King. But we have authority on this earth as an under-king of His kingship. Talking about authority, if I had a king here, a king in the natural, a king that had conquered many, many, many people, and you would ask this king, okay, here on the front row we have this person and you've conquered this nation. Do you have any fear of this person? Why, no. I have no fear. We've already conquered them. We have conquered them. I have no fear of them. We are kings. The devil has been the conquered one. Do you hear what I'm saying? We have the authority. As royal priesthood, the royal part is our authority on this earth. Our priestly part is our ministry to the Father. Do you see that? Royal priesthood. We have authority on this earth through our King of Kings, Jesus. And our priestly role is as we minister. Do you think about this? Before the cross, if you went back in time to the time when they had the temple and they had the priesthood, if you wanted to be a priest, could you just go sign up for the priesthood? I think I want to be priest. No, you can't be priest. Well, why can't I be the priest? I want to be a priest. No, you can't. Why not? You have to be born into the family of Levi to be in the Levitical priesthood. You have to be born to the right family. Well, I don't care. I want to be a priest. No, that doesn't work that way. We have the mandate from the Father that says, or from God at that time, that says that you have to be of the family of Levi. When you were born again, the new creation, as you were birthed into the family of God, you were birthed into royalty with the authority of a king and with the authority of a priest, that you could go before the Lord and raise your hands and worship Him whenever you want to. Whenever you want to. You don't have to do anything. You don't have to be of a particular lineage. He has made it available to you through the new birth to be a priest, a royal priest. It says here that you're a peculiar people. Well, I know some peculiar people, but that's not this. A purchased people. You've been purchased. Your life is not your own. You have been bought with a price. You're not your own. You're a purchased possession. When you said, Jesus, I make you the Lord of my life. I make you the Lord of my life. You gave up the ownership. You gave up the right to decide how you're going to spend your life, what you're going to do, where you're going to live. You gave up all of that to Him. You say, I trust you, Lord. I'll follow your leadership. Wherever you lead me, I'll follow. Whatever you want me to do, I'll do that. I belong to you. As long as you will continue in that path, as long as you live that yielded life, you walk in the authority that He has invested into you. Now, if you want to go out and live however you want to live, guess what? The authority that He entrusts into His children that are yielded to Him isn't available for someone that just wants to go out and just live haphazardly and just do whatever you want to do. I'm talking about someone whose life is not their own. If you want this authority that I'm talking about working in your life, you have to lay your life down. Can I hear an amen? Your life is not your own. But you give it up willingly. Because He does not want slaves that are slaves by not by choice. You can be a slave, but you're going to be a slave by your choice, not by His rulership over you. Do you follow what I'm saying? So let me jump back here. Verse 10, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have attained mercy. You see, this part right here where it says, in time past you were not a people, that means you were in time past. It didn't matter where you came from. You remember the example that Gary had? It didn't matter who you were. When you came to Jesus, it didn't matter. You didn't have to be of a certain lineage. You didn't have to be born to a certain family. When you came through Jesus, you received all that He's made you. Now we're going to go back to Ephesians, because this is where this all connects back. So jump back to Ephesians. We're going to be looking at chapter 2 again. We're going to start off in verse 19. Now therefore, you are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. If we can just get a hold of that last statement right there, we are of the household of God. If we can have that revelation as something that's alive inside of us. Verse 20, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ Himself being the chief cornerstone. This is where this connects back to the structure that's being built here. I'm going to look at this verse one more time. Verse 20, where it says, and are built. I want to really focus on this, the building aspect of this. And the fact that something here is being constructed. We're being built upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ being the chief cornerstone. This type of building doesn't just come up overnight. And it's not something that, unfortunately, the world can see with their eyes. But you have to know something. You have to know that that building is being constructed here. Now, yes, it's all part of a larger structure in the kingdom of God, but we have our part to play in it. The revival, our part of this revival, depends on us and our structure being built. Look at verse 21. In whom all the building fitly framed together. And that word fitly, I looked that up to find out a little bit more. Organized compactly is what that means. Fitly framed together groweth unto a holy temple in the Lord. And look at the word groweth. It's increasing. This temple is increasing. It's growing. It's fitly joined together. He's so meticulously building this structure. And each one of us, as a lively stone, we have our part to fit in to that fitly compacted structure. Each one of us. And if one of us or a group of us decide to lay down on the job, that part of it is missing. You think about something. Envision something in your mind that's joined together, and every joint fits one into the other. You are important. Do you hear what I'm saying? You mean something here. I don't care how insignificant you think you are. If you are here, you mean something to this body. You have value here. And you have a responsibility to fill your place in this structure. Do you hear what I'm saying? This is the point that I'm wanting to drive home to you tonight. We're building a structure, and this structure is where God in His presence is going to inhabit as revival is being poured out here. And you individually have a part to play in this. I know when I first heard about revival, when I first heard the words, it was funny. I had this picture. We were still living in Florida at the time. I had this picture of, you know, you see the signs outside of the, you know, the denominational churches, and it says revival starts on such and such a day and ends on such and such a day. And I thought, so that's what revival they're talking about. We're going to have it. It's going to start on May the 1st and end on May the 2nd. No, that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about an outpouring of God's presence because we as a people, we as the people have built a structure that He can inhabit. Does that make sense to you? Nod your head or do something if you follow what I'm saying. Do something to act like you're alive. We're building a building in the Spirit for God to inhabit and to pour Himself out through us to affect this city. And this is what, again, I go back to the prophetic word that Pastor Dave spoke Sunday. This is what was mentioned in that word. The structure that's being built. The structure that's here. And I can't emphasize enough your importance in that. You are important. You mean something. I went through all of this in 1 Peter. You are a priest. You're a member of the priesthood. You can go before the Father and worship. Think of the value that God has placed on you. And He's brought you here for a reason. And I want, this is not to beat you up. This is to encourage you. I want you to be encouraged. Because of what we're going to see happen here. He thought so much of you and what your part would be in this that He brought you here. Think about that. Think about the value that He's placed on you and the gifting and that place in this structure, in this temple that is a spiritual structure. You're part of it. That you're going to fulfill is so important that you cannot lay down on the job. I'm not going to go into a lot of detail, but a lot of you know what's happened in my wife and I, in our life in the last 6 months. And it has drastically affected the amount of time that I've been able to spend with the Lord. And if I would compare notes with some of you would say, well, you're not doing very much. I'm doing everything that I can do. And if you, and I say this because I want you to be encouraged. I want you to be encouraged. I don't know how much time you in your life can spend with Jesus on a daily basis. Yeah, it's funny. Some people, they have their schedule of how much time they, you know, what their day is like. You know, part of that day involves, well, I watch TV from this time to this time. And I do this and I do that. And I'm not one of these preachers that's going to hammer you over the head because you watch TV. I just don't have time to watch it. And I don't miss it. I think that's one of the greatest tools the enemy came up with was television. Just to steal away our time. It's unfortunate that he's been so successful with it. And now he's got the computer. Or you could sit in front of the computer for hours and not get anything accomplished. I don't know if any of you can relate to that, but I sure can. And what am I saying? I'm saying that your time is valuable. How you spend your time is valuable. It's important. Don't just let it slip through your hands every day and not spend any time with the Lord and not work on this building inside of you, because you're going to carry His presence. It's not just in this four walls that His presence is going to be poured out. I remember I told you about Peter. When Peter walked, the presence of God was on him so strong that even the shadow, when it fell on people, it wasn't the shadow, it was the geographic area. He walked in that much presence of the Lord that the geographic area was affected. That's what you can walk in. Are you interested in that? How hungry are we? Really? How hungry am I? I don't want another 5 or 10 years to go by and we're still contending for this. I want to do what I need to do, and I want you to do what you need to do so we can see this thing manifesting. Hear me. We affect this timetable. We affect it. Press in. Press in. Don't let your flesh get the best of you. Press in. And I'm saying this as much to me as to you. Stir up the hunger that's inside of you. Stir it up. You remember the hunger when you first realized, I'm not going to hell. You remember the hunger when you first got saved. Stir it up. Stir up that gift that's inside of you. Set that picture in front of you of what it's going to look like when you lay your hands on those blind eyes and they open. Set that picture in your mind, in your heart, of what that's going to look like when the person stands up and walks. And not only that, but his family is saved as a result. And that extended family is saved. Because that's what it's about. It's not just about getting them saved. It's about seeing them in the kingdom. Can I hear an amen? Last verse. In whom you also are builded together for a habitation of God through the Spirit. That's what I'm talking about. Lively stones build God's dwelling place. When I talked about the priesthood and offering up, lifting up the hands and offering up the worship, Holy Ghost showed me something inside. And for those of you that I chose at the beginning of the service, I came up to you and I told you that I wanted you to participate in this. We're going to have time and we're going to do this. This is what I saw inside. And I believe the reason for it is this. I saw individuals worshiping the Lord. And it started with one. And then it proceeded. And proceeded. And I believe God's saying this to us. It starts with one person. And as that person fulfills their place, and another person fulfills their place in this body, watch how His presence comes in. Go ahead, Lord. Praise the Lord. Louder. If you want to join, you're welcome to join. Praise your name, Lord. Praise you. Lord, we worship you. Jesus. We worship you, Jesus. Lord, we worship you. Jesus, we exalt you. Jesus, you inhabit the praises of your people. Lord, we praise you. We worship you. Lord, we love you. We magnify your name. We exalt you. We praise you, Jesus. Lord Jesus, we love you. We love you, Jesus. We magnify you, Lord. We praise you. We praise you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. We exalt you. We praise you, Lord. We praise you, Jesus. You're so wonderful, Lord. You are so wonderful. Lord, we will have revival here. Jesus, we will have revival here. We will contend. We will stand. We will stand, Jesus, until we see revival in this house. We will lay down our lives, Jesus, and have the revival that you have told us that we are going to have. And we will not stop. We will not stop, Jesus. We worship you, Lord. Praise you. We thank you, Jesus. We exalt you, Lord. We praise you. We praise you, Jesus. We praise you. We praise you. We praise you. We praise you, Lord. You are so wonderful. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah, Jesus. 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 Praise you. Praise you. Praise you, Lord. Praise you. Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. I believe that there's people here tonight that this message has hit a chord inside of you. And I know that there's... I know that making that step sometimes to come forward and just to kneel down gives you a point in time. A point in time when you say, this is where I make my stand. And I'm encouraging you right now. If you would like to come forward, just find a place right here. And just spend some time, you and the Lord. And make a fresh dedication to contending for this revival. Please do so. Because we're going to have revival. And I want you to be part of it. But it's going to mean dedicating yourself to this. And if you feel like you're like you've let it go cold, it's not fresh and burning inside of you, come up here and kneel down and let the Lord, let the Holy Ghost reignite this inside of you. Please. Please. Please.